All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Megillah Daf Vav. So we left off with Gufa. So we're 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Second wide line.
Thank you. Second wide line. Good. Yeah, you can give me a little bit of slack. All right, just the second wide line, Gufa, says the Gemara, Chizkiya kari b'tveria ba'arbeisra b'chameisar. Nesapkele, imu kefes chuma mimos Yeshua benun. Ilos, remember again, Rabbi said we were discussing yesterday about Tveria and whether or not Tveria is considered to be a walled city or an unwalled city. Obviously, the ramification of which is which day do you end up going ahead and reading the Megillah. So the Gemara says, Sigmara said yesterday that Chizkiya read on Tveria on the 14th and the 15th because he was not sure if Tveria was surrounded by a wall at the time of Yehoshua Benun or not. Milsa de Tveria. Is there any suffix about the status of Tveria? After all, the Haksiv, the Pasuk says, Va'ari Miftzar, quoting over here the Pasuk from Yehoshua, Va'ari Miftzar, these are the walled cities, Hatsidim, Tser, Chamas, Rekes, Vikineres. So the Gemara says, Rekes, Vikaimalon. So this is a list of just all of walled cities. And we learn, we have a tradition, Vikaimalon, Tveria, excuse me, Rekes, Zo Tveria. We have a tradition that the city of Rekes is the city of Tveria. So you see from here that Lemaisa Tveria is considered to be a walled city, to which the Gemara says, Hainu taima de misapkale. So why was it exactly that he was misupak? Mishum dechad gisa shura de mayahavas. Because Tveria on one side is water. On one side, it totally faces the water. Ihachi amay misafkele. So his suffix was, does facing the water on one side, and even if you're walled on the other three, does that make you a walled city or not? If that's the case, that that's what his suffix is, that Tveria is closed on three sides. And on the fourth side, technically it's also closed, but it's closed by the water. So the Gemara says, Amay Masafkele, why is that a suffix? Vadai lav chomahi. I will say, it is clear that water does not count as a wall. This Sanya, because we learned in our Braisa, Asher lo choma. We'll say the Tov over here, Torah is talking about Bate Orechoma, houses in a walled city. So houses in a walled city have a different set of halachos when it comes to real estate purchases or real estate sales, the duration of them. So the Gemara says that in order to be considered a house in a walled city, it has to be a city that has a choma, velo shor igar, and not a wall of houses surrounding it. Velo shor igar saviv, prat le tveria sheyama chomasa. So let's say, for example, when the Torah says that a walled city has to have a wall, that comes to exclude, let's say, a city that is surrounded by a wall of houses, or for that matter, a city that has water as one of its walls, to which the Gemara says, Le'ingen bate arichoma lo misafkele. So when it comes to whether or not Tveria is considered to be a walled city in terms of real estate purchases, so that there's no suffix, meaning everyone will agree that in order to be a walled city, let's say for real estate purposes, lemaisa, you have to be actually walled on all ends. Ki kama safkele, so when is there a suffix? Le'inyan mikra megillah. The suffix comes up in terms of megillah. Because we'll say, why? What does the megillah say? So the megillah, when it discusses the cities that read the megillah, so mentions two places. My prazim umay mukaf. Remember, the megillah mentions Prazim, unwalled cities, Mukafin, walled cities. So the Gemara says, my Prazim, my Mukafin, dechsivi, gabi mikra megillah, mishum dahani miglu, vahani lo miglu. So on one hand, we can say, here's a distinction. A walled city is not revealed, is covered, is closed off, versus an unwalled city, which is miglu, Rabbah said, literally means revealed. If that's the definition of walled versus unwalled, then what? Vahanami migla. On one hand, again, this city of Tveria is revealed. Why is it revealed? Because Lemaisa, again, on one side it faces the water, and therefore the city is fully visible, meaning its view is not obscured because of a wall. Therefore, it would be considered to be an unwalled city, and read on the 14th. All deal with the other possibility is Mishum Dahani Mignu Vahani Lo Mignu. Or maybe the difference between a walled city and an unwalled city is what Rabbah say in terms of protection. A walled city is one that is protected. An unwalled city is one that is not protected. And if that's the definition, v'hanami migna. But Tveria would also be protected, why Rabosai? Because again, being closed off by the water is also considered to be a form of protection. And therefore, because of this, mishum hachi misafkeleis. So Rabosai, this is why Chizkiyah was not sure what to do in Tveria. Not as much because he had a suffix, not because the suffix is in Tveria, but the suffix is really in our definitions. What is the definition of a walled city? Is it a city that whose view is fully obscured on all sides because it's surrounded by a wall? Or is it a city that is protected on all ends? The Nafkamina would, on every side, the Nafkamina, the practical difference would be Tveria, where it's not covered by a wall on all ends, but it is protected on all ends because one of its ends faces the water. So be...
What does the actual word mean,
Pres? Pres, city. City. So because of that, Chizkiyah was not sure as to the definition. Because of that, he read on both the 14th and the 15th. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ravasi kari Megillah b'Hutzal, bar beisam echamisar. Similarly, Ravasi read the Megillah in Hutzal. So Hutzal, again, is a place. He read it on the 14th and 15th. Misaf kilei. Ilo, he was, again, because the Gemara is just giving another example of a place in which there was a suffix as to what the identity of the city was. So he read on the 14th or 15th. He wasn't sure. Was it surrounded by wall time of Yoshua Benun or not? Ikar da'amra, there's another version of this that says, Amravasi, hai hutzel de beis binyamin mukefes chumim mos Yoshua Benuni. So we'll say two different versions of this episode. In version number one, Ravasi wasn't sure about the status of hutzel. Therefore, he read it on the 14th and 15th. In the second version, Ravasi makes a declarative statement that Hutzal was in fact surrounded by a wall at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, and therefore reads on the 15th. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the following. Ki avina talya, when I was a young man, it's interesting, talya actually means like a young lamb. So I guess it was also used as a term for, Rashi says over here, kishayisi na'ar. When I was young, amina milsa disha'elna lesabye, I had an idea of which I asked my elders, top of the ishtachach kavasi, and it turned out that I was right. So Rabbi Yochanan said that when I was younger, I thought about something, I had an idea, and I said it over to people who were older and wiser than me, and they corroborated the truthfulness of my statement. And what did I say? I said, Chamas zutveria. In fact, Chamas, Rabosai, again, remember going back to these cities that were quoted in the Pasuk, in Yahushua. So here you have Rabbi Yochanan suggesting that Chamos is really the Tveria, same city, different names of the same city. I v'lamanik reshma Chamos. So why is it called Chamos? Al shum chame Tveria. Because we'll remember Tveria was known, or still is known, for its hot springs. Therefore it's called Chamos for its hot springs. Rekes, the city of Rekes, Zu Tzipori, that is the city of Tzipori. V'lama nikra shma Rekes, so why was it called Rekes? Mishum de medalia kiraksa dinara, because it is raised like the bank of the river. Kinneret, Zoginosar. The city of Kinneret is the same thing as Ginosar. V'lama nikra shma Kinneret, so why was it called Kinneret? Dimatiki pera kekala de kinari, so beautiful. So again, If it was really Ginosar, so why is it called Kinneret? Kinneret. So the Gemara says why? The Matiki Berry called the Kinneret because the fruit of Ginosar was as sweet as the sound of the harp. So because of that, it was called Kinneret from Lashon Kinar, from Lashon of harp. So beautiful. Amar Rava. Mi ikalamand amar Rekes laf Tveriyahi. So Rava says, is there anyone who doesn't agree that Rekes is Tveriyah? Vaha, but yet we see kishachiv inishacha. When Rabbi say when a person dies in Bavel, and this is not just a person, is a tam tchacham. When a tam tchacham dies in Bavel, so what happened? Vaha kishachiv inishacha hasam saptile. There in Eretz Yisrael, they eulogize him in the following way. He was great in Sheshach. I will say Sheshach, Rashi says over here, is Bavel. There's another name for Bavel. Visham lo Berekes. And he established a name for himself in Rekes. In Rekes, which again, they understood to be referring to Tveria. V'chi maski arona lahasam, and when they bring the casket from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, sapti lehachi, they would eulogize him in the following way. Ohavei siririm, those who love the Jewish people, as Rashi translates Tzvirim as Klal Yisrael, Yoshvei Rekes, those who live and dwell in Rekes, Tzu'u V'kiblu Haruge Omek, go out and receive those who were killed in literally in the Omek, in the valley, which again is a reference to Bavel. Kinach Nafshed Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera died, Pasach Allahu Saptana, a certain person was eulogizing, began saying the following, Enet Eretz Shinar Hara V'yalada, the land of Shinar, which again is a reference to Bavel, literally bore and gave birth to this person. A reference to Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera was born in Bavel. And what happened? Eretz Tzvi Gidla Sha'ashu'eha. And literally the land of the Tzvi, Rabbi say Tzvi in this context means the beauty. Beauty. The beautiful land raised him and he became its delight. Rabbi say, so it's interesting over here, just historically, Rabbi Zera was born in Bavel, but then he made Aliyah. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. So when they eulogized him, so they said again, he was carried and birthed in Bavel, but ultimately again the land of beauty raised him. Such a beautiful, like the land of beauty, Eretz Yisrael raised him. Oy na la, amra rekes ki avda klei chemdasa. Woe to you, Rekes, because you have lost the instrument of your beauty. So I'll say all of this is just being brought down to demonstrate the idea that Rekes is in fact Tveria. That's all it's doing. It's just supporting that idea. Ella Amar Rava, Chamas Zu Chame. Grar, rather again. So we'll say another version. So according to this version, Chamas is Chame Grar. So again, Chame Grar is a place. Rekes zu Tveria, Kineres zo Ginosar. Rekes is Tveria, Kineret is Ginosar. V'lama nikra shma Rekes. So we'll say why is it that Tveria is called Rekes? Sha'afilu rekanen sheba melein mitzos karimon. Well, it's such a beautiful idea. So why is Tveria called Rekes? Because again, even the emptiest ones, meaning even the simplest people in Tveria, were filled with mitzvos like the seeds of a pomegranate. So that's why, again, Rekes is a play on the word Rimon. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiya says Rekeshma. In fact, the real name of the city is really Rekes. See, up until now, we've assumed that the real name of the city is Tveria, but Rekes was just a descriptive name. And now, Rabbi Yirmiya is suggesting just the opposite. Rekes is its formal name. So why is it called Tveria? Sheyosheves b'tibura shel Eretz Yisrael, because it sits in the center of the land. Rava Amareva says, Rekeshma, in reality, again, it's called Rekes. V'lama nikrashma Tveria, why is it called Tveria? Shetova Re'iyasa, because again, it literally looks beautiful and it has a beautiful view. Amar Zira, Kitron Zotzipori. Kitron, that is the city of Tzipori. V'lama nikrashma Tzipori, so why is it called Tzipori? Why do we call it Tzipori if its real name is Kitron? Sheoshevesh Baro Shahar Kitzipor, because it sits perched on top of the mountain like a bird. V'kitron Tzipori, is that true that Kitron is Tzipori? V'ha-kitron b'chelkon shel Zvulun havi. But Rabbi said, we know that Kitron was part of the tribal portion of Zvulun d'chsib, because the Pasuk says, Zvulun lo horish es yoshvei Kitron, v'es yoshvei Nahalol, v'zvulun uzvulun misraim amidosav hava. So Rabbi said, listen to this. So the Pasuk in Shoftim says that Zvulun did not go ahead and conquer those who lived in Kitron and the ones who lived, who dwelt in Nahalol. Now that's the end of the Pasuk. And then the Gemara says, Uzvulun Misraim Amidosav. Zvulun, we know, they were not happy. Zvulun, what we'll say in the singular, Zvulun was not happy with his lot in Eretz Yisrael. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, he quotes over here now the Pasuk from Shoftim, Zvulun am cheref nafsho lamos. The Rabbi said, what this Pasuk actually means is that Zvulun was willing to fight to the death. Zvulun was willing to fight to the death. The way the Gemara homiletically interprets this Pasuk is Zvulun am cheref nafsho lamos, which means Zvulun shamed its soul to death, meaning that Zvulun was very ashamed of the tribal portion it received. Matam, why was Zvulun all upset about the tribal portion it received? Mishum de Naftali amiro mesada, because Naftali received the best fields. So we'll say, what is Zvulun upset? Listen to this. Amar Zvulun with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zvulun said to God, Ribono shel Olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu, la'achai, to my brothers, Nasati lahem sados ukramim. You gave my brothers fields. You gave my brothers vineyards. Velina sati harim ugvos. And to me, you gave mountains and valleys. La'achai nasati lahem arazos. To my brethren, you gave land. Velina sati yomim unharos. And to me, you gave seas and rivers. Amar lo, so what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Zvulun? So Zvulun is upset, Rabosai, because again, he just doesn't have massive tracts of land. He has a lot of mountains, a lot of valleys, and a lot of water. So well, what's going on with this? So listen to this. This is so beautiful. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Zvulun, Kulan tzrichen lecha ayidechi lazon. Everyone's going to need you, why Zvulun? Because only in your waters will you find the chilazon. Remember again, the chilazon is the snail-like creature from which they produce tchilas, the dye for tzitzis. Obviously, everyone needs the dye for the tzitzis, and the chilazon is only found in the waters of Zvulun. Shne'amar usfune timune chol. Tani Rav Yosef, what does that mean? What does that mean? When he over here, he quotes the pasuk, Usafuni tamuni chol. Tani Rav Yosef, Safuni ze chilazon. So Safuni, that refers to the chilazon. Tamune zo taris. Rav Yosef, what is tamune taris? Look at Rashi, this is amazing. Taris, dog shekorin tunina. Tuna. Right? Apparently, again, so tuna was very common in the waters of Zvulun. Chol, what does it mean? Sand. Zichuchis levana. It refers ultimately to white glass, that apparently the sand by the beaches of Zvulun was very high quality sand, and they were able to make what's called white glass, which was a very expensive type of glass. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, mi modieni. I'll say, listen to this. So Zvulun says, ribono shel olam, thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that you made my waters filled with tuna and with chilaz, and only one problem. People will just come and take it on their own, right? Meaning, essentially what Zvulun is asking, really, is, which is good kasha, how do I know that I'm going to cash in on this, right? At the end of the day, you know, it's very nice that it exists, but what's going to stop the poachers from coming along and taking whatever they want? How do I know that I'm really going to cash in on this? Amar lo, meaning, literally means, who is going to tell me if others take this without paying for it? Amar lo, listen to this, he quotes the pasuk, Sham yizbichu zivchei tzedek, simon zeh, Simon Ze, I'm sorry, Simon Ze Yehelecha, you'll have this sign. So Zvulun, anyone who takes from you without paying for it will not benefit in any of their business transactions. Meaning that people will realize that if they want to be able to be economically successful, they're going to have to pay you for anything they take from your waters. Okay. And if you say that Kitron, remember, so now what we've established is that Kitron is part of Zvulun's tribal area. Now, if you say that Kitron is Sipori, Amai Misraim Amidosov, why would Zvulun complain about having Sipori? Vaha, how yet Sipori milsa da adifa tuva? Sipori is an incredible place. Vichitema de lespe zvas chalavudvash. I maybe you'll say that Sipori does not flow with milk and honey. Well, that's not true. Vahamar Eishlakish said, Ledidi, Chazili Zavas Chalavu Devash De Tzipori. I have seen how the city of Tzipori flows with milk and honey. Vahav Yeshisha Asamil, Al Shisha Asamil. And there are literally rivers of milk and honey, 16 mil by 16 mil, that flow through Tzipori. I will say, obviously, employing a bit of hyperbole here, but to make a point that Tzipori was considered to be a very lush and vibrant city. Vichitema Dolonafishe, Dide Kedahua. I maybe will say that even if Tzipori has a lot of chalav udvash, a lot of milk and honey, it's still not as good as the portion of his brethren. I saw the milk and honey of all of Eretz Yisrael. And it flows literally from Mabi Kubi, that's a place, until Akra, until the port of Tulbakani. Esrin Vitartin Parsi, Orka, it is 22 parsos in length. Ufusya Shisa Parsi, and its width is 6 parsos. So we'll say, so what you see from here is, if that's the amount of milk and honey in all of Eretz Yisrael, then the amount of milk and honey in Sipori is a significant amount of that. So we'll say, keep track of the question. The question is that if you're going to tell me that Kitron is Sipori, then Sipori is part of the tribal area of Zvulun, then why is Zvulun complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about his portion? Because it appears that Sipori Ori was one of the luscious, most vibrant parts of all of Eretz Yisrael. Afilu Hachi said, no, you're right, Kitron is Sipori, and it's lush, and it has the majority of milk and honey in Eretz Yisrael. Afilu Hachi, Sados Ukramim Adifale. Nevertheless, Zvulun still wanted more fields and vineyards. Dekanami Diksiv, you could be medayik in this because it says, V'naftali Amirome Sada. They were both saying, what was Zvulun upset about? Zvulun saw Naftali with all of his beautiful fields. Shlamin Abosai, such an incredible yisod, that sometimes the greatest challenge in life that prevents us from being happy with what we have is our with the fact that we compare ourselves to others. Meaning, if we would just go ahead and look at our bracha in a vacuum, independent of others, we'd realize how much we have. It's true. Sometimes, so it could be others have more, others have better, and sometimes, unfortunately, that prevents me from seeing my own bracha. So the Gemara's conclusion is, I don't really get it. Zvulun Lemaisa has Tzipori, which is probably the lushest city in Eretz Yisrael. He also has waters that are filled with tuna and chilazon, incredible, incredible sources of income. But at the end of the day, he looks over his shoulder, and what does he see? He sees Naftali. He's got a lot of nice vineyards. And at the end of the day, that leads him to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very profound Gemara. So the Gemara says, "They cannot fight." Shema Mina. Am Rabbi Avol. The Ekron. Now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tzefanya. The Ekron te'aker. Ekron will be uprooted. What is Ekron? Zu Kesari bas Edom. This refers to the city of Kesari, who is the daughter of Edom. Shehi Yosheves ben Acholos, that sits between the sands. Vehi Haisa Yosei Takua LiYisrael b'Yemei Yevanim. And this city of Kesari was a constant, literally Yosei Takua means an embedded peg, like a thorn. To the Jewish people during the entire time of the Greek occupation. If you look at Rashi says over here the following. He says, Yosei Takua L'ra'a. It was a source of incredible difficulty during all days of the Ivanim. U'kishe gavra malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum. When the chashmonoi went ahead and defeated the Greeks, Havu Korin Osa Achidas Migdal Shir. They called it the captured city or the captured tower of song. So we'll say, this refers, again, there were, by the way, you should know, there were a number of cities called Kesaria. Kesari. So this refers actually to Kesari in Eretz Yisrael, which was the stronghold of the Greeks. But remember, again, there were Kesarias, right, all over the place, because Kesaria literally is a city name for the Caesar. So they were everywhere. So that's why he calls it Kesaria Bas Edom. So listen to this. Am Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Mai Dichsiv, Vasirosi Damav Mipiv, Vishikutsav Mibein Shinav. What's the meaning of the pasuk again in Zechariah? I will remove the blood from the mouth and the disgusting things from between the teeth. And he will be left for our God. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, what does it mean? I will remove the blood from the mouth. That refers to their home of Avodah Zarah. The Shbaruch was saying, I will destroy the places of Avodah Zarah that the Gentile nations have created in Eretz Yisrael. The disgusting things were in between the teeth. Zebes Galya. So Beis Galya was a specific type of idolatry. Zebes Galya Shelahen. V'nishar gam hulei lokenu. But yet again, that which is for God will be left. Elu bate knesios ubate midrashos sheba adom. Sheba Edom. We'll say that as much as the Shbaruch will destroy the Avodah Zarah of Edom, yet, interestingly enough, the shuls and the bate medrash that we have established in Edom will endure. Vahava quotes over here now the pasuk from Zechariah again. Vahaya ka'aluf bi Yehuda, the ekron kiyevusi. What does that mean? Elu Trachios v'karkasios sheba Edom. This refers, Trachios, Rabosai, are the theaters or amphitheaters. Karkasios are the circuses that exist in Edom. Sha'asidin sare Yehuda lelameid bahen Torah barabim. We'll say, listen to this. That when Mashiach comes, so the amphitheaters and the circuses, which again were areas that were used for large gatherings by the Greeks and then later on the Romans, and often were the place where incredible immoral activity happened. When Mashiach comes, they're going to be used for They're going to be used for Talmud Torah. Jose, I'll tell you, I thought about this Gemara during the Siyum HaShas. You know, if you think about it, you want to see like the little taste of Mashiach. The little taste of Mashiach is, again, not Chas HaShalom, these places are used for immorality. They're used for, you know, good sporting events. But the idea is you're taking these places that are used for like the most mundane things. And yet, again, they're housing incredible gatherings of Torah. Quite amazing to think about. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, you could save that vart for 6 years from now, Mir Tzah Hashem. Keep it, fold down the page. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So again, Rabbi Yitzchak says the following, Leshem Zupamyas. So go over here now, the Gemara quotes, because the Pasuk over here quotes, actually, Vayetik Vul B'nei Dan Mehem Vayalu B'nei Dan Vayalachamu Im Leshem. Quotes the place Leshem. What's Leshem? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, Leshem is Pamyas. Ekron te'aker zu kesari bas Edom. What does it mean? Ekron will be uprooted. That refers again to Caesarea of Edom. Now, also, what does it mean, Caesarea of Edom? Listen to this. Shehi haisa metropolin, metropolin shel melachim. That Caesarea shel Edom was considered to be a metropolis for kings. And again, both say this is Caesarea in Eretz Yisrael. It was Caesarea. Now, the truth is, I shouldn't say that. The truth is, this is Caesarea. When he says Caesarea of Edom, really what it means is Caesarea. It means Rome. It means Rome. So the Gemara says, because again, before in the Gemara, I was also talking about Caesarea of Eretz Yisrael. But this is Caesarea bas Edom, is Caesarea of Rome. So the Gemara says, it was a metropolis for kings. Ige de Amri, de Marbi ba Malchi. Some say that many kings live there. The Ige de Amri, de Mukmi mine Malchi. Others say that they appointed kings from there. The point is, it was a place for the elite. So the Gemara says, Kesar v'Yushalayim. We'll say, if you have Kesari and Jerusalem, Im yomar lecha adam char v'shtehen, al tanos, is very profound Gemara. If somebody tells you that both Kesari and Yerushalayim have been destroyed, al tamin, don't believe them. Yash v'shtehen, if somebody tells you that they're both dwelling peacefully, al tamin, don't believe it. Charva Kesari v'yash Yerushalayim. Somebody tells you Kesari was destroyed, Yerushalayim stands, or Charva Yerushalayim v'yashva Kesari, or Chas Hashem Yerushalayim is destroyed, and Kesari stands, ta'amin, that you can believe. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, quoting over here, from Yecheskel, Imal'o ha'charava. Literally, I will go ahead and fill up the one that is destroyed. Imalaya zu, if this one is full, if this one is complete, chareva zu, this one is destroyed. Vimalaya zu, and if this one is complete, chareva zu, this one is destroyed. I will say, such a profound Gemara. Uvra Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Yochanan ben Eska says from here, ulaom milom ye'ematz. Literally, one nation shall be stronger than the other. A reference ultimately to when Rivka Imenu is told that she's carrying twins, and the news that she gets is they will be locked in constant struggle. So I will say, such an incredible insight. What the Gemara says is that the notion of the relationship between Yisrael to Edom, and remember again, Edom represents the world. So the relationship between Edom and Yerushalayim is, you know what? They're never at equilibrium with one another. If Yerushalayim is strong, then again Edom is weak. If Edom is strong, then Yerushalayim is weak. Such an incredible insight into the balance of power in the world. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Yuchan Rasha Balamat Sadek. So over here now, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Literally, it means Yuchan Rasha. You give favor. You show favor or kindness to the wicked. Bal lamad tzedek, despite the fact that he does not learn righteousness. So what's the pshat? You're listen to this. Amr Yitzchok ne'achadish baruch hu. Yitzchok said to God, Yitzchok avinu, ribono shel olam, yuchan Esav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should have compassion on Esav. We'll say, amazing. Only a parent, right? Only a parent can have compassion on an Esav. But Yitzchok avinu is still Esav's parent. Have compassion on Esav. Amr lo, Rasha hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what are you talking about? He's a Rasha. Amr lo, Baal Lama Tzedek. So we'll say, listen to this. Yitzchak says something amazing. Look at Rashi just a moment. Amar Yitzchak, Baal Lama Tzedek, Kilomar, Ein Adam Yochol Lamed Alav Tzedek. Yitzchak Avinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, does Esav not have one redeeming quality? Like, is there not something good you could find about him? You know, he picks his laundry up off the floor. You know, what? No, you heard that one? Good, right? So anything, right? Whatever it is, is there not something redeeming that you could find about him? Amar lo, be'eretz nechochos yo'ol. Kadosh Baruch Hu literally says to him, quoting the pasuk, Again, from Yeshaya, Beretz Nechor Hoseol, that meaning he's going to destroy Yerushalayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak, I just want you to know, your son Edom, will destroy Yerushalayim. Amar lo imkein, bal yireh gavas Hashem, geos Hashem. If that's the case, Yitzchak Avinu says, let him not see the majesty of God. Meaning Yitzchak Avinu agrees, after hearing that Esau is ultimately going to go ahead and destroy Yerushalayim, let punish him. Let him get what's coming to him. What's the meaning of the pasuk when it says again? Avi Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. Al yitin Hashem ma'avaye rasha. This is amazing. Zumamo al tafek yarumu sela. Listen to this. Excuse me. Literally. God, do not give the desires to the wicked, or do not fulfill the desires of the wicked. Zimama al tafak, literally, do not remove their nose ring. Yarumu sela. Amar Yaakov ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. God, Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, al titein le'esav harasha ta'avas libo. Do not go ahead and give Esav the Rasha, the desires of his heart. Suppose it's interesting. Yitzchak Avinu tries to plead for mercy for his son. Yaakov knows who his brother is from the outset. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not go ahead and give Esav the desires of his heart. Zimamo al tafak, say, get ready for this. Do not remove his nose ring. You ready for this? So what does it mean, do not remove his nose ring? Zu germamya shel Edom. What does it refer to, do not remove his nose ring? It's specifically referring to the nation of germamya. Now, also, you should know. So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, comments on this Gemara, and he says, he has a different gersa. He says, it's not germamya. What is it? It's germania. It's Germania, it's Germany. He says, this tribe of Germania, so Yaakov even says, do not remember the nose ring, just so you should understand this, when you had a nose ring on an animal, so that kept the animal in submission. Holding on to that would keep the animal somewhat docile. Do not remove the nose ring from Germania. She'el male heinyotzin, because if you remove the nose ring from Germania, machrivin kala olam kulo. They have the ability to destroy the world in its entirety. Almost, you hear this? Absolutely amazing in the Gemara. In the Gemara, already a reference to the horrifically destructive power of Germania of Edom. Amazing. Tragic. Rabbi Chanan bar Chanina said, "Tlas mea kitiri taga ika beGermamia." We'll say Germamia has 300 crown princes. I guess Germamia was split up according to different chieftains, different kings, different smaller kingdoms. So it has 300 kings. Shal Edom, ika beGermamia shal Edom. Utlas mea v'shisin v'chamisha merzavni. Ika beromi, and there are 365 chieftains in Romi. Ubichol yoma, every single day, nafki hani la'api hani. So the chieftains of Rome go out to war against the kings of Germany, and what happens? Umakdil chad minayu, and one of the leaders is killed each day. Right, somebody on each side is killed each day. Umatridi lo'ukmi malka, and obviously this is a good thing. Why? Because apparently the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up is that Germania and Rome are always fighting with each other. So because they're always fighting with each other, at least they tend to leave everybody else alone. And because one of the kings or one of the chieftains dies each and every day, it keeps them occupied with replacing those offices. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak, listen to this, I'll say again. It's just amazing. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, also it's important Gemara to underline, to highlight, to put your bookmark on, Xerox cap, whatever you have to do. Amir Malacha Adam, Yagati Velamatzasi. If a person says, I toiled, but I did not find, meaning I worked very hard, but I did not realize results, Al Ta'amin, do not believe them. Lo Yagati Umatzasi. If a person says, I did not try very hard, but I realized my results, Al Ta'amin, do not believe him. Yagati umatsasi, but if a person says, I toiled and I found, I reached my result, then ta'amin, then you can believe them. I'll just tell you again, it's interesting. The Gemara is not saying, remember, he doesn't say, Yagati vehitzlachti, I put in effort and I succeeded. The Lashon is matsasi, that I found something. Something positive came from this toil. So if a person says, I toiled, but I didn't get any positive results, It's not true. There's always positive results from the effort, from the toil. Might not get what you want, but there's always positive efforts. A person says, I got positive efforts, but I didn't toil. Any positive efforts that come to you without toil are not worth having. Or if a person says, I toiled, umatsasi, and I received, I found positive results, then lemaisa, again, believe such an individual. But the Gemara qualifies this. Hani mili b'divrei Torah. They both say, this is true in matters of spirituality. Aval b'masa umata, when it comes to business, siyatohu min shemaya. They both say, so business, that's divinely ordained. Meaning, there are plenty of people that make a lot of money and yet do not expend a lot of effort. And there are a lot of people who expend an incredible amount of effort, but yet, for whatever reason, are not matzliach. So when it comes to parnasa, this paradigm that we're expressing over here is a paradigm by ruchnius, a paradigm by spirituality. Parnasa, siyata d'shmaya. Furthermore, ula divrei Torah, even when we speak about Torah, lo amon ela lechadudi. I will say, when we say that again, yagati matzasi, this paradigm that if you have to put in the effort and you will realize the results, that's only to understand things. Listen to this. Aval ukme girsa, but to remember things, siyata min shmayahi. I will say, it's actually quite amazing. So, which we know. Again, memory is just something, again, that I could review and learn and try, but to remember something, that requires incredible siyata d'shmaya. It's beautiful. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, if you see a wicked person, means the hour is smiling upon him, or the hour is kind to him. Meaning, if you see a rasha who is being matzliach, you see a wicked person who is just having incredible life success, al tiskarebo. Literally, do not contend with him. Don't start up with him. Shene emar, al tischar b'mereim. Because the pasuk in Tehillim says, al tischar b'mereim, literally, do not contend with those who engage in evil. Mereim is ra, those who are evil. For the old, elish adarkov matzlichin, you may see a wicked person, and yet, whatever he does is successful. Shene emar, yachilu drachav b'choleis. For the old, not only that, elish azocha b'din, even the legal system is working with him. Shene emar, moro mishpatecha menegdo. For the old, Elish Rabbisanov, not only that, but this wicked person is able to overcome his enemies. Shene Emar, Kol Tzor Rav Yafiach Bohem. So also what Rabbi Yitzchak seems to be saying over here is that Lamaisa, if you see a wicked person for whom everything is going right, it could be whatever reason that person's mazel is in a good place, don't start up with him. Don't start up with him. Ini, is that so that you shouldn't contend with a wicked person? It is permitted to contend with the wicked in this world. Shene emar, ozvei Torah yahalalu resha, v'shomrei Torah yiskaru bam. Because the pasuk in Mishlei says literally those who go ahead and leave Torah will themselves praise the wicked, but those who keep the Torah will contend with them. Rabbi said, which what the pasuk seems to be saying is that lemaisa, when you see evil or you see something bad happening, you see someone doing, you have to stand up. And if you don't go ahead and stand up, then by definition you are complicit with the performance of evil. V'tanya, Rabbi Dostai Bar Masun Omer, Amar, Rabbi Dostai Bar Masun said, "Mutul iskaras bar shamba lemazeh." It is permitted to contend, meaning to go out and combat the wicked in this world. Listen to this. If somebody tells you not to contend with the wicked and not to go ahead and stamp out evil, somebody whispers that to you, just know, mi shelibo nokfo omer kein. It's only someone whose heart has betrayed him, says that. This is an incredibly important yisod. You know, When we see something bad happening, so the reflexive response needs to be to do something about it. Now again, it doesn't, obviously different circumstances call for different reactions. Sometimes you do have to be quiet and wait till the right time. But what's interesting to note is that if I see negative things, and if it doesn't bother me, or if I see negative things and don't feel just that visceral hurt, or that visceral, not anger, in a, but anger about seeing something wrong, then I will say it means that my own lave is numb. My own lave is numb. And this is a very important yisod. If evil, if negativity, if wrong doesn't bother me, then it's libo nokfo. It means that something, some level of right and wrong has eroded within my heart itself. So the Gemara says, Elo al tischar merayim. So therefore, according to Rabbi Dostoy, what does it mean? Do not contend with the wicked. Lios kimerayim means don't be like the wicked. Ve'al tekane ve'osei avla, and literally don't go ahead and literally be jealous of those who perform the wicked. Lios ke'osei avla, to be like those who perform negative things. Ve'omer. So which one is it? So on one hand you have Rabbi Dostai telling me that you should contend with the wicked. On the other hand you have Rabbi Yitzchak telling me that you should not contend with the wicked. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, "Velo kasha habimili didei habimili dishmaya." It depends what the issue is. Rabbosai, if you see a wicked person who is having incredible mazel and he has adversely affected your personal dealings, then it may be wise to hold your tongue for a little bit until his mazel changes. On the other hand, mili dishmaya, when it comes to spiritual matters, if you see something wrong occurring, you need to take a stand. I will say, obviously, a statement like this has to be understood in context, because you can't always take a stand immediately for a whole variety of reasons. But in a vacuum, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matters, that we have to be harif, we have to be sharp, we have to be willing to take a stand. Personal matters, if you see a bad person who is having a run of very good luck, it might not be the time to contend with him. The Gemara says, "Vibai Seima." Other possibility is Avibai Seima Hava Hamili Didei, or you could even interpret both. Rabbi Dasar Yitzchok is referring to my personal matters. Velo Kasha Habit Sadik Gamer Habit Sadik Sheina Gamer. They both say, who should contend with the wicked? Only the tzaddik gamer. And who should not contend with the wicked? The person who is not a tzaddik gamer. Well, and how to define those terms is an interesting discussion in and of itself. The Amar Avuna, Avuna says, "My dechsev lama tabit bogdim tacharish bebala rasha tzaddik mimenu." So here now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk. Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Habakkuk. Literally, lama tabit bogdim. Why do those who betray look on? Tacharish, everyone's silent. Bebala rasha tzaddik mimenu. When the rasha goes ahead and swallows up the person who is a greater tzaddik than him. So the Gemara darshins, this is very interesting. So tzaddik mimenu. So rasha tzaddik. I'm sorry. Tzaddik mimenu. Tzaddik mimenu bolea. Tzaddik gomor eno bolea. What do you see from here? The rasha is able to swallow up Hura Bosai. A person who is a tzaddik mimenu. What does that mean? So a person who's righteous, how is his righteousness measured? Because he's more righteous than the wicked person. So a person like that could be swallowed up by the wicked. However, again, a tzaddik gomor, which is a person not just of relative righteousness, but absolute righteousness, that person cannot be swallowed up by the rasha. V'ibayseima, or the other possibility is, sha'a mishachaykes lo shiny. The Rebbe say, when somebody is just having good mazel, when somebody is just having a run of good luck, lemaisa, again, such a person simply should not be contended with. Okay, Amar Ula, Italia shal Yavan, Zekrach Godol shal Romi. Italia shal Yavan, which literally means Italia, sounds like Italy. The Italia shal Yavan, the Italia, which was originally of Greece, that is the largest city within the Roman Empire. V'havya tlas mea parsa, al tlas mea parsa. And it is 300 parsos by 300 parsos. V'yesh pa shin samechei shukim. And has 365 marketplaces. Kiminyin yemosachama. Like the days of the year. Of the solar year. The Kadan Shabakulan Shamokhrovos, the smallest marketplace in all the marketplaces of Italia Shal Yavan, is the one where they sell birds. The Havi Shisha Asamil Shisha Asamil, and even that smallest one is 16 mil by 16 mil. Umelech Soid Bechoyom Be'achamehen, and the king of Rome dines in one of the marketplaces each and every day. Vahadarba, and one who lives in Italia Shal Yavan, even though he was not born there, Notel Prasi Beis HaMelech is supported, literally receives a stipend from the palace. Is someone who was born in Italia Shal Yavan, even if he doesn't presently live there, Notel Pras Mi Beis HaMelech also receives a stipend from the house of the king. Ushloshes alafim beit bani yeshbo, and there are 3,000 bathhouses in this city. V'chamesh me'os chalonos ma'alin ashen chutz l'choma, and there are 500 windows in the wall of the city that channel the smoke outwards. The idea is that the walls of the city do not become blackened by the smoke, which was a sign of chashivos. Tzido echad yam, on one side is surrounded by water. V'tzido echad harim ugvos, on one side is surrounded by mountains and hills. Sido echad mechitza shabarza. On one side, it is surrounded by an iron wall. Vitzido echad chulsis umetzula. And the other side is surrounded by literally pebbles as well as a swamp. I will say, Hashem, something amazing. Take a look at Rashi. Talya shal yavan. Rashi says over here, krach godol shegodol. So I will say, Talya shal yavan literally is. So what was the capital city of Greece that ultimately was absorbed into the Roman Empire? Rashi here tells us how was Greece? How did the Empire of Greece come into being? This is amazing. Look at Rashi. He says Bishvil Avon Menashe. Rashi says Greece came into being because of the sin of Menashe. What did Menashe do? Shebishah shehichnis selam beheichal. Menashe did something truly terrible in that he brought in an idol into the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning he wasn't the first king to introduce idolatry into the Jewish people, but he was the first king to actually introduce idolatry into the sacred precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. Listen to this. When Menashe did this, is amazing. Yorad Gavriel, v'na'atz kalabayam. The Malach Gavriel came, he took a reed, and he planted the reed in the sea. The gadol alav chelka gadol v'nivna l'sham italia shal yavan. And I will say what happened. Sediment began to collect around the reed. That sediment became an island, and that island became italia shal yavan. So he says me'ei elisha, elisha in the Elysian Sea. Metargemina minavos italia. I will say something amazing. So Greece came into being how? Greece came into being as a result of the sin of Menashe, which means that Klal Yisrael, we create our own enemies. Quite amazing. We create our own enemies. Through our actions, we created the Empire of Rome. We created the Empire of Greece, which ultimately, again, gave birth to the Empire of Rome. Quite traumatic. Says the Mishnah. Karu Samigila, both say back to a little bit of halacha. Karu Samigila. Karas Megillah ba'Adar Rishon. If Rabbi say if they read the Megillah on Adar Rishon, the first Adar, v'nis Abra Hashana, then they decided to declare a leap year. So remember, again, in this case over here, what ended up happening is comes the 14th of Adar, and we assume it's going to be just a regular Adar. And then what happens after, let's say, on the 20th of Adar? What does the Beis Din decide? Leap year. Leap year. So now we've got a problem because I celebrated Purim already, you know, a week ago, and I tell me it's a leap year. So what do we do now? So the Gemara says, "Korin osa ba'adar sheni." You have to go ahead and read the Megillah again in the second Adar. In bein Adar Rishon Adar Hasheni, there is no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar. Elo kriyas haMegillah umatanos levyonim. Except Rabbi say that what? That the reading of the Megillah and matanos levyonim must be done when? In the second Adar. Says the.
No,
you can absolutely make a leap year even in Adar itself. Again, not preferable by any stretch of the imagination, but Lemaisa, again, you can absolutely do it in Adar. I'm sorry? It's the last month that you could go ahead and make a leap year. Correct. Because remember, the only month that you have the ability to make into a leap year is Adar itself. So the verse of the vine, Holy Inyon, say the parashio, Zev Zeshavin. Now, also, what's interesting is the only thing the Mishnah discusses is Megillah or Megillah Matanos Levionim. But yet, for parashios, now, also, what does it mean when it says parashios? If you look at Rashi, say the parashios, Parashashkalim, Zachar, Para, and Cholish. Also, remember again, we have the supplemental, the additional four parashios of Parashas Zachar. Or say Parsha Shkalim, Parsha Zachar, Parsha Spar, Parsha Sachodesh. It sounds like Zev Vezeh Shavin. That's what? That Lemaisa, you could read those either in Adar Rishon or in Adar Sheni. So for example, in this case, where you're doing these things in Adar Rishon, and then what? And then you had a change in plans, you made a leap year. Let's say if you had already read the Dalet Parshios, then what? You would not have to read them again. So the Gemara says, Mani Mas Nisin, whose opinion is reflected in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, Lo Tanakama, it's not the Tanakama, for Lo Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, it's not Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, for Lo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we'll say, one thing I know for sure, which is, our Mishnah does not reflect any of these three opinions. What do these three opinions say? Disanya, because we learned. Karu es haMegillah ba'Adar Rishon, if they read the Megillah in the first Adar, v'nis Abra Hashana, then they decided to declare a leap year. Korinos ba'Adar Sheni, you have to read it again in the second Adar. Why? Shekal mitzos shenogos b'sheni nogos b'rishon, because all mitzos that apply in the second Adar also apply in the first Adar. Chutz mi mikra Megillah. With the exception of what? With the exception of Mikra Megillah, which only applies in the second Adar. So both say that is the opinion of the Tanakama. So Tanakama holds that Lamaisa, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are the same in every way except from Mikra Megillah. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein korin osa ela ba'adar sheni." You can only read the Megillah in Adar sheni. Shekol mitzvos shena goes b'sheni, noa goes b'rishon, because all of the mitzvos that apply in sheni also apply in rishon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Mishum Rabbi Yossi, af korin osa ba'adar sheni." You even have to go ahead and read in Adar sheni. Why? Shekol mitzvos shena goes b'sheni. Ein noa goes b'rishon, because all of the mitzvot that apply in the second Adar do not go ahead and apply in the first Adar. V'shavin behesped ubetanis shasur and beze ubezer. Well, so interestingly enough, they all seem to agree that lamaisa, both the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, as well as the 14th and 15th of Adar Sheni, you can't go ahead and deliver a eulogy or fast. So the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara begins by saying, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hainu Tanakama. I will say, at first glance, Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama seem to be saying the same exact thing. Why? Because they both say that all of the mitzvos that apply in Adar Sheni, so or anything that you've done in Adar Rishon must be repeated in Adar Sheni. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Papa, say their parshios igabenayu." Oh, here's the difference. We both had differences with Dalet parshios. Tanakama savra lechatchila b'sheni, because Tanakama holds that lechatchila you should do the Dalet parshios. That's the four supplemental readings in Adar Sheni. However, ve'i avud b'rishon avud. But if you went ahead and you read it in Adar Rishon, okay, it works. Bar mi mikra Megillah. The only exception is the reading of the Megillah. Da afa gav the kar b'rishon kar b'sheni. Because again, I will say, so according to the Tanakama, the only thing that must be repeated in Adar Sheni is what? Is Megillah. L'chatchila, the Dalet Parashah should also be read in Adar Sheni. But if you didn't, if you already read in Adar Rishon, you need not repeat. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer Yossi, says, Afilu mikra Megillah lechatchila berishon. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer Yossi says that lamaisa, you could even go ahead and read the Megillah in Adar Rishon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, Afilu seder parshios, ikaru berishon, karu b'sheni. So we'll say, essentially what you have over here are three different shitos. On one hand, again, let's take the most extreme. The most extreme is Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi holds everything can be done in Adar Rishon. Everything can be done in Adar Rishon, even what? Even Mikra Megillah. That's on one hand. On the other hand, the other extreme you have, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says what? Who says, Lamaisa, everything must be done in Adar Sheni. Not only Megillah, but what? Even Dalet Parshios. And almost like the compromise sheet is a Tanakama. Tanakama holds everything in the Chatchila should be done in Adar Sheni. Mikra Megillah must be done in Adar Sheni. But Dalet Parshios, if you did in Adar Rishon, but the Eved, you Yotze. So the Gemara says, money. So whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? E Tanakama, if it's the Tanakama, Kashya Matanos. And I will say, interestingly enough, the Tanakama makes no reference to what? To Matanos Levyonim. Which sounds like if you did Matanos Levyonim in the Adar Rishon, then what? Then it should work. But yet our Mishnah says that what? That Matanos Levyonim must be the Adar Sheni. E Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Kashin Ar Mikra Megillah. If it's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, that can't be. Because again, remember, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says you can even do Mikra Megillah Chatchil in Adar Rishon. And our Mishnah says it must be done Adar Sheni. E Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kashya Seder Parshios. You could read the Dalet Parshios in Adar Rishon, but yet from our Mishnah we could infer that Lamaisa you'd have to do it in Adar Sheni. So whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? The Olam Tanakama. In reality, it's the Tanakama. Vitana. So also remember, the reason we had Tanakama's problem was why? Because Tanakama seemed to be saying that what? That Lamaisa, the only thing you had to do in Adar Sheni was what? Was Megillah. But that Matanos Levyonim could even be done when? Even Adar Rishon, which contradicts our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says Matanos Levyonim must be done in Adar Sheni. So which the Gemara says, Vitana, Mikra Megillah, Vahu Adin Matanos Levyonim, Daha Baha Talya. We'll say this goes back to yesterday's daf. To which the Gemara says, no, the Tanakama holds. When the Tanakama says that Megillah must be done in Adar Sheni, he also includes in that what? Matanos Levyonim. Why? Because Matanos Levyonim is connected to Megillah, as we saw yesterday. You can never have Megillah without Matanos Levyonim. Why? Remember again, because whenever the poor hear the Megillah, they always expect Matanos Levyonim. Therefore, Matanos Levyonim is always joined with Mikra Megillah. So the Tanakhama does not articulate it explicitly, but by definition, he means that when we say you have to read Megillah and Adar Sheni, that means Matanos Levyonim is also an Adar Sheni. Be by same other possibilities. The other possibility is maybe our Mishnah reflects the view of Shimon Gamliel. And this is what the Mishnah means to say. Or this is what the Mishnah means to say. Ein bein arba asar sheba adar rishon, liyidal sheba adar sheni. There is no distinction between the 14th of Adar Rishon and the 14th of Adar Sheni. Elo mikra umatonos. Except for, again, the reading of the Megillah Matanos Levyonim that must be done at Adar Sheni. Holy inyon hesped v'tanis zev zeshavin. But the halachos for fasting as well as eulogies are the same, meaning you can't deliver either of them on Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. V'ilu seder parshios lo mairi. And our Mishnah Rabbah is not talking about what? Is not talking about the Dalai Parshios Bichlal. So therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position does not pose any kind of issue because l'mais, we're not talking about Dalai Parshios. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Chiya bar Avin to say in Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yossi, who says what? Shekol ha-mitzvah shenogos b'sheni, ein noogos b'rishon. So Rabbi Yossi, therefore, we pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that halacha l'maisa, all mitzvos must be done in Adar Sheni, both Mikra Megillah, as well as Matanos Levyonim, including what? Including the reading of Dalet Parsha. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up over here Amir Tashem tomorrow. All right, watch your email for the schedule for tomorrow. We'll have to see when we have to start.